lost a quorum. Well, now we've restored one, so we'll get back to work. Good afternoon. The council will return to business, and would you read the remaining item that's a time certain for 3 o'clock?
Item 1340, approve hourly rate increase for on-street parking in the downtown meter district to better manage parking and provide a more safe and reliable parking system to be implemented after the 2015 holiday shopping season.
Commissioner Novick.
Mayor and colleagues, managing on-street parking is an integral part of how our overall transportation system works. Through this ordinance, PBOT and I are asking Council to approve a meter rate increase of 40 cents an hour in downtown. This recommendation came from a stakeholder advisory committee, which had representation from businesses, neighborhoods, institutions, and community advocates. When we get a recommendation to raise meter rates from such a broad cross-section of stakeholders, that tells me it's time to act. While the subcommittee that recommended this increase also encouraged the city to move forward towards a more dynamic performance-based pricing system, we need to increase meter rates now to respond to current conditions. Overall, on-street parking occupancy in the central city during some times of the day have reached a point where a meter rate increase is justified by the level of occupancy. In some areas, such as around PSU and Old Town Chinatown, parking reaches more than 95% occupancy. When on-street occupancy reaches a certain threshold, public access to amenities diminishes. Increasing the price of parking has always been challenging, but it's part of our job. The last time Council increased the rate was in 2009. Since 2009, transit fares have increased 3 times and smart park garage rates have increased twice. And one of the purposes of this rate increase, as you will hear, is to restore an appropriate balance between on-street and garage parking. So meanwhile, the on-street system has remained stagnant for 6 years. Staff prepared a presentation, and I believe a few committee members are here to testify about the recommendation. Before I turn this over to PBOT Director Leah Treat, I'd like to thank the committee and PBOT staff, including Judith Gray, Melissa McCready, and Catherine Doherty Chapman for their work, and Eric and Neeble of my staff. Thank you very much. I'll turn it over to Leah.
Good afternoon, Council. Thank you so much for having us here today. So we're here again for a meter rate increase in the downtown, and we feel the sense of urgency to act now. In our survey of occupancy rates in the parking meter downtown, as you'll probably see more of in our presentation, we're exceeding the 85% threshold that we need for turnover for businesses. This is a first ask, really, for a formal outcome of our parking stakeholder advisory committee for the central city. We will be coming in the future for more policy guidance on performance management, congestion pricing, and other innovative tools that we're going to be looking to use to manage parking in the downtown. And to echo Commissioner Novick, I also want to thank our advisory committee for working with us on this. The Central City Stakeholder Advisory Committee has been meeting for a year. We've put in more than 500 hours and probably eaten 200 boxes of pizza together. And in addition to that, several of the committee members agreed to be on a second subcommittee to address the parking in downtown, because our data that we were using to guide the policy conversations and the Stakeholder Advisory Committee pointed us to the direction of needing to address the meter rates downtown. I have to say, in January, when we started this process, this is not where we thought we were going to end up, but this is where we found ourselves. And I also know that this meter increase is not going to be popular with everyone, but we have used data to make a strong case for this change, and believe that that's going to be shown in the presentation. And in 2016, again, we're going to be bringing more innovative tools and other ways to address parking congestion and access to business and other amenities in the downtown corridor. And with that, I'll turn it over to Judith and Melissa.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for your time today. For the record, I'm Judith Gray. I'm a supervising planner with Bureau of Transportation. With me is Melissa. Today I'm going to go over kind of a package of recommendations that came out of the work we've been doing over the past 6 months, especially with this downtown meter rate committee. The one item that will be your action will be an ordinance to increase the hourly rate from $1.60 to $2 an hour. The committee specifically asked that we not input that in until after the current holiday shopping season, so this would be effective at the end of January. There are some other operating recommendations that the subcommittee came up with that I'm going to share with you, as well as a strategy to deal with some of the concerns about equity impacts that would come about as a result of the meter rate increase. So those are other things I'm going to share with you to give a fuller picture, but I just want to be clear that there's only the one council action for this time. Next, thanks. I also want to be clear that the meter rate increase would apply only to the downtown meter district. So that's the area shown here in purple. It's the entire area that has meters except for the Lloyd District, and also would not apply to the new district, new meters in Northwest or Central East Side. So as has been mentioned, this really came out of the policy work that we've been doing. And the policy work for both downtown and central and centers and corridors is looking at guidance that takes us into the next 10 or 20 years. We have policy now that's about 20 years old. So it was in the course of doing the technical analysis, next, that we saw that, in fact, the parking occupancy was, as has been mentioned, up to 90% during the peak hour. So we took that to the larger policy committee, and let them know that this is the conditions we saw and that it would, in fact, warrant a change. We asked them if they would like to add it to their current scope of work, form a subcommittee, or just let us take it to another committee outside of that process. They elected to form a subcommittee, out of which 12 people volunteered, and I really appreciate that. Next, please. Especially given the long period of rain we've had, I want to recognize that they spent additional evenings with us in June and July in Portland to talk about parking, in addition to the work they were already doing. So we have several people who are here, in fact, to testify. So I want to thank them for the time that they spent. Next, please. The work that we did and that they considered was guided by our current policy that expresses the purpose and the priority for the on-street parking system. And that is to support the commercial district, to support economic vitality by encouraging parking turnover, improving circulation, encouraging the use of off-street parking, maintaining air quality, and promoting the use of alternative modes. A couple of the key metrics that we look at when we're looking at parking system operations, the first one is occupancy, and I always refer to 85% as what parking experts, we find that to be parking nirvana, because that's where, if I'm a retailer, I've got a parking system that's very, very active, and yet my next customer has a space. When it gets over that level, it means my next customer is driving around looking for a space, getting frustrated. And if it's below that level, of course, what we want to do is maintain the right price. We also look at duration of stay because, as you saw, one of the purposes is to encourage turnover. And for the purpose of definition, it's an industry standard as well as a City of Portland policy, is that we define short-term stays as stays up to 4 hours. So that's generally what we look to the on-street system to support. This is the slide that shows this is the takeaway, the main one, that kind of signals a need for something. It shows the overall occupancy of the on-street parking over the course of the day. The red line is the data that we collected last October, and the blue line is the data that was collected back in 2008, and it was nearly replicated data. There's a red line across, a horizontal line that says the 85% point. And so what a parking professional looks at here is, you see, first of all, we have two peak periods. That's very, very good. Not every downtown has two peak periods, and that's a strong condition. But also you see that there are multiple hours that are at or above the 85% occupancy level. It's pretty unusual. In fact, I've done parking studies in a lot of different places, and it's very unusual to see that many hours over 85%. There is a lot of variability throughout the downtown. There are some places that get up to 95 and higher. So there's definitely going to be certain areas, especially around PSU, Old Town Chinatown areas, where it's really very, very full. Next, thank you. So what it means, not only are people driving around experiencing frustration, but it adds to traffic congestion and emissions. It adds conflicts. People who are looking for parking are often very distracted and perhaps, like I've said, frustrated. They're making more turning movements at intersections where there are more pedestrians and more bicycles. We have more vulnerable users. It's hard to know exactly how much it is Donald Shroop has done estimates between 17 and around 70% of traffic in typical downtowns might be just people looking for traffic. An overall estimate might be about 36%, and I think that's about right for the city of Portland just from my own years of observing the conditions and actually thinking about what that might be. Whether it's 15% or 70%, those trips have no added value. They are only causing impacts on an already congested system. So anything we can do to try to make a more predictable, higher level of service for the on-street parking system is going to benefit. This is a chart showing when the past meter rate changes have occurred in the city. So this shows the last one in 2009, previous to that 2004, 1998. So it's been a history of pretty infrequent changes, but we're at that point again where it'll be 6 years or maybe 7 years by the time we're implementing this change. I think in addition to being unresponsive to parking conditions, we're also not keeping up with other prices. As Commissioner Novick already mentioned, we've seen changes in the price for transit fares and also the smart park garages. And so right now, this slide says a system out of balance. And if you look at the duration of stay, when you get to up to 3 hours or above 2 hours, the smart park garage is actually a higher price than the on-street system, meaning the value parking, if you can find it, is on the street. So that's exactly the opposite of the way we want to be pricing parking.
Just to underscore that, in effect, when you have pricing like that, you encourage people to circle around looking for a place to park instead of getting themselves into the garage and off the street.
Yep, thank you. I want to move to some of the other operational changes that we saw, opportunities really to make other improvements. This slide shows the average stay of people when we were doing our data collection back in October. So the x-axis shows 1 hour spaces, 90-minute, 2 hour, 3 hour, and 5 hour spaces. And then the height of the bar indicates how long they stayed. So those first three, the 1 hour, 90-minute, and 2 hour, their average length of stay was about an hour and a half for each of them. What that showed us is that we're not really doing a good job of matching the customer's needs for what they need for parking. So this was one of the other operational improvements that the subcommittee is recommending, and I know that Melissa and her team in operations are already doing some data analysis to make those adjustments. Another operating change that we saw is with, in particular, in Old Town. There were a lot of concerns from Old Town businesses about the availability of parking for their customers. There's a smart park garage there, and PDC had done a survey just in the same time period and had found that on the day of the survey, only 2% of the people who were parking were actually customers in the district. About over 60% were employees who were either paying the all-day rate or had a monthly pass. So what the blue square shows you was that at 9:30 in the morning, the smart park garage is basically full. And then that red line shows it gets even higher. That curved line is how full it was over the course of the day. So that really, when customers are starting to arrive around 11 o'clock or so, that parking was not available. So one of the operational changes that the operations group is able to make is to adjust the price of the all-day stay to try to open up some of that capacity for customer parking. So these are two of the near-term operational adjustments that the subcommittee requested. So here's a summary. First of all, the primary recommendation of the meter rate increase to $2 an hour, implemented after this holiday shopping season. They all, under the secondary recommendations, and again, these are not things that require your action right now, every single member of the advisory committee on the meter rate wanted to say that they supported, that they didn't want to use this approach again. They wanted to go to a data-driven approach where we would understand what a performance metric is, what it means when our system is operating well so that we can be more responsive to conditions as they change and that so we can be more nimble about different areas. So they all wanted to include that in their recommendation as a statement. It's something we'll be coming back to you with in 2016. But in addition, the secondary recommendations were to adjust the time limits and to deal with the Old Town Smart Park capacity. So the next topic that was of concern was raised by one of the subcommittee members from representative from SEIU and also came up here at our council work session. And that had to deal with potential impacts of increasing the parking price for people who are working, in particular, people who are working in the evenings who earn lower wages and would have to pay that higher increment for their evening parking stay. So when we came, you know, we can understand in concept what the issue is, and so we needed to get some more information about how big of a problem is this? How big is this population that's going to be affected? And is there a way that we can provide an alternative to mitigate that impact? So we were able to do some additional data collection in the field. I think there were about 3 or 4 nights of doing some surveys between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. on street as people were parking, stopping, and asking a short survey about the purpose of their trip. What we found was that about 25% of the people parking were coming to work. But many of those people are coming for their various professional services positions. So that's really not the population that was of concern. 2% of the people we surveyed were coming for work in janitorial industry. 6% were in food and beverage service. And we do have a 2% category of other, which could be some downtown retail that works later evenings. So it's a relatively small percentage. I think, next please. It was important, though, and one of the things we weren't actually intending to look for, but that was revealed, was that the people who were doing the surveys found it was harder to get surveys after 6 o'clock because the parking was so full that nobody could really, it was harder to find a space and there was nobody to survey. And that just underscores the need, one of the issues, which is that if we're not effectively pricing the on-street system, nobody is being well served by it. Looking for an alternative to help mitigate that impact, we do think that Smart Park is a low-cost alternative. Smart Park garages have a flat rate from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. It's $5 in all of the garages. The exception is that in Old Town, it's $6 on weekends. So that's a flat rate. We do have capacity numbers for the Smart Park garages, and that blue curved line shows how full it is currently over the course of a day. And when it starts to decline, right about where that gold triangle starts, is right about 3:30 in the afternoon. And so that purpose of that is to simply to confirm that there is available capacity in the Smart Park garages to provide an alternative. So we are currently working on developing this was at the request of Commissioner Novick, did come up at our work session, to develop a reduced price pass to use the Smart Parks specifically for low-wage earners who are working those evening shifts. We've had one meeting with SEIU specifically about working to identify appropriate parameters of such a program, and that's been really positive, I think, and we have had a good suggestion about one downtown employer. So it's something we're currently developing, but we have fairly good indications that we're going to be able to develop something. So here's another.
That last point, so you're talking about somebody has to demonstrate they're earning a certain hourly wage in order to park in the garage?
Well, that's
one, kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
That's one of the things we're going to work with SEIU, because we don't want to be in that business of checking people's wages. That's not the kind of work we want to do. So what we're doing is we want to work with these employer groups or SEIU. We want to identify the eligible groups, but then the way to demonstrate eligibility that would not include that. So that's where we expect that we will be looking for some institutional partners, employers perhaps, who could help make that available.
And SEIU 49, I mean, they're a great union, but most of these people we're talking about, the service workers, don't belong to unions. So why is SEIU 49 sort of the definitive voice on this?
Oh, they're not. But SEIU 49 was represented on our committee and raised this issue. So we are very open to other organizations that can help us. Commissioner Fritz suggested, you know, the downtown Target might be a good organization. They might have employees who would be eligible, who would be suitable. If we can find those kinds of organizations, we're going to be really interested in
it. And I take that back. I guess for janitorial, 49 mm-hmm. probably represents a lot of them. But mm-hmm. when I'm thinking of people who work in the bars and restaurants, they're probably not represented, I guess.
That's what we'll – and we do want to be in partnership with organizations to help us. And so we're very interested and open to hearing suggestions about that. We are in transportation. We don't want to be checking people's income statements or hours that they're working. We're looking to find another way, a proxy that we can use to establish eligibility and demonstrate that. So that's something We've actually had some really promising conversations, though, with SEIU about ways to do that. We plan on working through that in January and February. Do you want to add anything?
Well, I was just going to add that when we met with SEIU, they have a number of partners that they also are pulling into the conversation so that that we can come up with some suggestions on how we might move forward with such a program.
You might contact Unite here, too, because they organize the hotel workers.
I'm sorry, can you say that again? I didn't hear you.
Unite here.
Thank you.
Local 9.
Thank you.
And?
Here's hotel employees.
I don't want to spend.
Yeah, hotel and restaurant employees, basically.
Thank you. So we're open now for any questions.
So you mentioned as a secondary thing you're going to look at is adjusting the hours of the meters?
The time limits.
So I noticed in that graph you showed that it shows that most people, or not most, but a lot of people parking in the one-hour meters are actually staying an hour and 24 minutes.
Right.
So does that mean we're going to adjust those upward, those time limits? Okay.
Correct, and we're in process with that now. We've gathered some occupancy data, and we're starting to roll it out.
Okay, great.
So what's the process for adjusting the smart park prices?
For the all-day rate?
Yes.
The director has the authority to do that, and we have done that historically as needed based on market demand as well as occupancy data.
Does the council approve that in the budget?
I believe it does come forward in our fee schedule, yes. Our smart park rates would be lumped into our fee schedule.
Right. I am a little concerned about the issue of that one garage that we know a lot of employees are parking in. Again, there's the issue of what kind of employees are they and whether they actually need to be able to park downtown, and just whether raising the rate actually just raises the revenue and won't impact whether employees park there, because if they have to park there because they can't get to their job on transit at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever it might be, we're not necessarily going to solve the problem. We might make it harder for those low-income employees.
Other questions? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
You have invited testimony, Commissioner?
Thank you.
I think we have Tony Jordan, Mushtaba Ali, Reza Farhudi, Ben Schoenberger, Nicole Knudsen, and Bob Buchanan, I believe. At least we were expecting them.
Okay, come on up.
Hello. Mayor Hales, Commissioners, thank you for... Commissioner Novick, thank you for inviting me to speak. My name is Tony Jordan. I was a member of the Meter Rate Adjustment Subcommittee and the Central City Parking Policy Stakeholder Advisory Committee and the Centers and Corridors Stakeholder Advisory Committee as a citizen at large. A downtown meter rate increase of at least 40 cents is justified by the data collected and supports the stated goals of the city. Your staff at PBOT have done an excellent job presenting the reasoning behind this recommendation, so I won't spend much time repeating what they've said, but I will provide a bit of personal testimony and propose a use for the additional revenue. I want to highlight a particular inequity present within our current pricing. Simply put, the cost of transit relative to driving is out of balance. The presented materials state that the cost of a round-trip fare for one person is comparable to the cost of a three-hour stay at an on-street parking meter. This is a generous comparison. Riding the bus is less convenient than driving. A person driving 5 miles to downtown for a three-hour midday stay will leave when they want, park near their destination, and return when they're ready and pay $4.80. If they're traveling at night, they may find free parking after enforcement is ended and pay no additional fees. Additionally, that person may bring along their family or friends for no additional cost. A person taking the bus or MAX will need to leave on TriMet's schedule, will likely walk farther to their destination, and will pay $5 for the same trip. If that person's traveling with family or friends, the cost quickly multiplies, and no economic rational group would choose TriMet over a personal vehicle. But not everyone can drive a car, and many prefer not to, for medical, personal, financial, or environmental reasons. If the city truly wishes to meet its long-term mode split goals, the cost of riding the bus should be cheaper than the cost of driving. A combination of lower transit fares and higher parking fees is likely to accelerate the desired shifts in the mode of travel. Finally, this is surely only a stopgap solution to managing our parking supply. The procedure for changing meter rates is needlessly onerous and inappropriately inflexible for the management of one of the city's most valuable assets. I urge you to, as fast as possible, direct the very capable staff at PBOT to develop a performance parking management policy to allow them the authority to, within parameters as you see fit, adjust the pricing and hours of enforcement to achieve an equitable and efficient parking system. In some areas of the central city, a 40-cent increase may be too much. In other areas, it will be too little. In entertainment districts, ending enforcement at 7 p.m. on most nights is clearly not working, as evidenced by the graph that we saw. I suggest that some of the revenue generated by this increase be used to fund a few pilot programs in the downtown. Allow Director Treat to adjust the pricing and hours of enforcement in those areas which are most acutely congested and those with the most vacancies. Most importantly, collect data. A small amount of experimentation will provide invaluable information that will inform the next policy proposal. The remaining new revenue would be very well spent on a discounted transit pass program for low-wage workers who have to commute to the city center. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Mayor. My name is Mushtaba Ali. I'm the regional manager for SB Plus. I was a member of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee and the subcommittee. One of our contracts that we manage is the City of Portland Smart Park Garages. And as the operator, I wanted to explain how there's a relationship between the on-street rates and how it affects management of your off-street parking inventory. Now, the garages were designed for the same purpose as the on-street parking system for short-term visitor parking, but even in that realm of short-term parking, there's a differentiation between the shortest short-term stays and longer short-term stays. Now, a short-term stay might be a quick visit to a store or a short appointment, a drop-off or pickup, or even a quick bite to eat or takeout. But a longer short-term stay might be coming downtown to see a show or a movie, to spend the evening out dining, or maybe you're visiting from out of town and you're staying at a local hotel and you need to park your vehicle. So, given that in mind, and it's also reflected in how the parking is sold. In the garages, we sell parking by the hour, and on the street, you can buy parking in 15 or 30-minute increments. Now, ideally, people would self-select based on their duration of stay, but given that pricing is equal and actually after the second hour, it's less expensive on the street, people are going to choose not only the most convenient but also the less expensive option. Raising the meter rate would bring back balance this dynamic between on-street and off-street parking and would provide an incentive for people who have these longer short-term stays to park in the off-street system, and that would open up inventory on-street for people who really need those spaces. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. My name is Reza Farhudi, and I served on the Central City Parking Committee and the Meter Rate Subcommittee on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. And our neighborhood supports this increase for all the reasons that the city staff has provided. We think that providing encouraging turnover does a good job of reducing congestion and reducing emissions. And we hope this is the first step towards a comprehensive performance parking program where we can sort of set rates in response to local demand. There are areas of our neighborhood close to the Burnside, the southern half, that have a lot more restaurants and nightlife destinations. And so that higher activity should, in response, have higher rates than sort of the north part of the neighborhood that has less development as of now. Just want to say something really briefly, piggybacking on what Mr. Jordan was saying from a personal perspective. I work in the Central East Side. I don't drive to work. I either bike or take streetcar. But if I wanted to come here for this testimony, it'd been cheaper for me to drive because it would have cost me $1.60 to park here for the hour to provide this testimony than to pay $250 for a 2.5 hour TriMet pass. And so I believe that in no circumstance should parking ever be cheaper than the transit fare. And so I personally wish that we would have gotten even higher, but this is a good first step for now. Thank you.
Thank you all. Questions? Thanks very much. Appreciate your willingness to serve on that long-term effort. Okay, who's next?
We should have Ben Schoenberger, Nicole Knutson, and Bobby Cannon.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Commissioners, thank you. I'm Ben Schoenberger. I'm with the group Housing Land Advocates. We're a nonprofit that promotes land use policies, especially as it relates to encouraging affordable housing. So I also served on the committee, both the larger committee and the subcommittee, and we had strong support for the current proposal because we think that the prices for parking are out of whack, both with the levels of demand that are being shown on the streets right now and with other alternatives available to people to get downtown. It's logical and reasonable in the face of this evidence to increase the prices. So from an equity standpoint, which we've talked about a little bit, that keeping parking prices at the street artificially low is not a great policy response to the challenges faced by low-income people. And that the PBOT survey that they did in response shows that it's actually a small minority of street parkers that are classified as service workers that would benefit the most from this. Generally speaking, wealthier people drive more and own more cars than poor people. And nationally speaking, poor households are 5 times more likely to lack access to a car than households across all income levels. So giving away something that wealthier people do more and use more than poor people is a lousy way to address equity. More targeted interventions the council could take would have a lot more effect and leave less money on the table. So big picture, the committee felt strongly that parking policy, as we've said, as a secondary recommendation, should be driven by direct observation and by supply and demand and not anecdotes. And that the group uniformly supported performance-based management, that policy decisions in this arena should be driven by data and not by politics. So in short, we urge support of the recommendation of the subcommittee. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Who'd like to be next?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Hales and commissioners. My name is Nicole Knutson, and I'm a strategic researcher for the Service Employees International Union, Local 49. And I'm here today on behalf of our over 11,000 members to voice some concerns that we have about this proposed increase. We understand the data that's been presented that supports the need for a meter rate increase, but we are concerned about the disproportionate impact that it will have on the low-wage workers in the downtown core. Many of these workers, you know, they've been pushed farther out from where they work due to the lack of affordable housing. And for a lot of these workers, a 40 cent an hour increase is a huge percentage of their hourly wage. And we do understand that on-street parking is not intended to be workforce parking, but a lot of these workers, public transportation is not a practical option. Some of these workers work multiple jobs with very little time between these jobs for taking public transportation. Some of these workers experience disabilities, and despite accessibility accommodations, it's still very difficult for them to take public transportation. And finally, some of these workers, their working hours are outside of TriMet service hours. You know, they're getting off when there just is no public transportation option. So despite these concerns, we do appreciate the opportunity to work with Commissioner Novick's office and with PBOT on coming up with some solutions that will mitigate the impact of this increase on some of our downtown workers, the most vulnerable workers. Thank you.
Mayor Hales, commissioners, good afternoon. My name is Bob Buchanan. I'm represented on both the Central City Parking Advisory Committee as well as the subcommittee represented Portland Business Alliance as well as Pioneer Place, Pioneer Tower. I'm here to testify in support of on-street parking meter increases being proposed, and I can attest to the 200 boxes of pizza. I was 75 pounds lighter when we started this a year ago, so thank you for that. It's vital that the city provides on-street parking that is available to our customers at a reasonable price and for a reasonable length of time when balancing the need to encourage parking turnover. To help educate the committee of current market conditions, as you heard, the Portland Bureau of Transportation conducted on-street surveys in late 2014, which did in fact show that on-street parking occupancy rates were alarmingly high and ultimately signaling the need to spur higher turnover on the street. Parking experts now know that 85% seems to be kind of that sweet spot where they'd like to believe that that's, and I agree, that that's where you need to begin to take a look at those occupancy rates and strike a balance between supply and demand. And that's why I'm here. I'm as I said, I'm here to testify in support of an increase from $1.60 to $2 per hour for on-street parking, which will once again make us more efficient and preclude one of those pinch points that we experience in downtown Portland as a deterrent for people to come here and do their trading as opposed to doing it elsewhere outside of the city of Portland. Additionally, the committee looked at the length of stay and found that most people who parked downtown stayed an average of 90 minutes. 18% of the parkers stayed longer than posted time limits, and although there's a case to be had for the additional fees associated with parking fines, I think that the alternative to bump those times is a better alternative, again, to take away that irritant, those pinch points that discourage people from coming downtown. Given this information, the subcommittee made the recommendation to convert some of the one-hour spaces to 90 minutes to ensure parkers would have sufficient time to accomplish their errands. Parking increases are certainly never good news for our clients downtown, but it makes good sense to increase them from time to time for just that reason, and that is to better create a positive environment on the street. Downtown retail community will certainly continue to do our part to educate our customers about the many transportation options available to them, and will encourage customers to park in the smart park garages, of course, which have the lowest short-term rates, as we know, in downtown. More than 200 of our businesses downtown actually validate parking based on qualifying purchases, and we will continue and would like to continue our partnership with the City of Portland in that respect. As a brief deviation here, I'd like to say that as the general manager of Pioneer Place and Pioneer Tower, I would encourage council to continue to seek opportunities to provide fund for programs such as the Downtown Marketing Initiative. All that we can do as retailers and as business owners in downtown Portland to encourage customers now coming downtown is important, but we also need to get the word out, the good news that is downtown Portland, and that's going to require some revenue or some funding, and so I would encourage the council to do just that. Again, as a member of the policy stakeholder, and one other thought, particularly, I'm encouraged that PBOT, as a secondary portion of this, is looking into some alternatives for the lower income workers in downtown Portland as alternatives at Pioneer Tower, for example, for our workers that work overnight. We provide parking for them. It's on a limited basis. It's in our garage, but we provide it for them at no charge. But the point is that there's a lot of empty garages and a lot of people working, and it seems that while you certainly don't want to dig into an individual's personal finances, it working with organizations like SEIU, various employers outside of and beyond the hotel and restaurant industry, I think is going to be very important. And there should be a menu of services that we provide the businesses in downtown Portland to keep it vital and to keep downtown successful. And last but not least, I'd like to say thank you to the PBOT staff. They were wonderful to work with, despite the fact that I now have to attend a fat farm. But I appreciate their hard work and their efforts. They are very professional, very thoughtful. It's very encouraging to work with individuals of their caliber, and I'm grateful for that opportunity to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
So as the manager of Pioneer Place, where presumably some of the retail workers there are fairly low income, could you envision a way to have an employer benefit to get these passed to park at a reduced rate that your businesses would be able to participate in?
We could certainly facilitate the conversation, and of course with this energy associated with having 100 plus retailers under one roof and having access to all of those employers, there's definitely ways I think that we could facilitate getting the word out, if you will, without causing any sort of embarrassment or compromise on the part of the individuals that would want to take advantage of the program.
And that would be something that you could help the employers provide as a benefit, which might be an incentive to the worker to choose to work at that location rather than one where they would get free parking.
Absolutely, because, of course, that's one of the issues that we have as well. We have lower income wages at Pioneer Place, and there are alternatives all over the city and the suburbs for the same type of employment. And so to attract that worker, that good quality worker that we want to attract, we need to be able to offer those types of things. So I would definitely want to participate.
Great. Thank you very much.
Other questions? Thank you all. Thanks very much. Other Steve, that you have on your list? Or?
I don't think we have any other invited testimony.
Oh. And some others that have signed up to speak or plan to. Come on up, please.
One more person left on the list also, Craig Bush.
That's
you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Good afternoon.
Commission. My name is Craig Bush. I'm the manager of Starbucks at Southwest 9th and Taylor, and I'm the chair of the Downtown Retail Council, which is through the Portland Business Alliance. I'm here to testify in support of the on-street parking meter increase being proposed. We work very hard downtown to ensure our retail environment is healthy and thriving. Over the last 6 years, the Portland Business Alliance, Downtown Clean and Safe, Portland Development Commission, Travel Portland, and private property owners have been working hard to revitalize the retail landscape in the central city through a series of projects including targeted retail recruitment, expanded marketing programs and physical improvements, and district branding along the Pioneer District. Thanks to these collective efforts and an improving economy, the downtown retail vacancy rate has held steady at 5% for the last 3 years, down from a high of 12% during the recession. We've added more than 100 new retailers and restaurants over the past 5 years. These new businesses bring increased demand for short-term parking. While we continue to promote city-owned smart park garages as the best low-cost option for our retail customers downtown, on-street parking plays an important role in the overall parking options available to our customers. It's important that we strike the right balance between ensuring we have on-street parking that's available to our customers at a reasonable price, but that still encourages parking turnover and revenue generation for the city. Recent surveys conducted by the Portland Bureau of Transportation show that on-street parking occupancy rates near 95% at peak periods signal a need for an increase in rates to spur higher turnover on the street. At our November Downtown Retail Council meeting, representatives from PBOT presented the rationale behind the proposed parking meter increase, and we voted to approve the proposed increase from $1.60 to $2 per hour downtown, with the understanding that two conditions were met. One, that smart park rates would remain static beginning at $1.60 per hour and will always be a lower price short-term parking option than on-street parking. And second, that the city would continue to fund the downtown marketing program to promote smart park garages and hundreds of small businesses downtown. Again, we support the proposed on-street parking meter increase with the understanding that these conditions are met. Finally, we appreciate PBOT for holding off on any proposed increase to parking until after this important holiday season. Anecdotally, I'd like to also say that my staff of 10 people, 7 out of the 10 would be considered low-wage earners, and none of the 10 park cars downtown. Thank you for taking these actions to support our retail businesses.
What hours is your business open?
We are there from 4:30 a.m. until 7:45 p.m. If you're interested, a couple of things that Starbucks offers is we're testing in other cities and are interested in bringing this to Portland, partnering with services like Lyft and Uber to provide early hour and late hour transportation at a discounted or free rate for our employees. We also subsidize, if you buy a parking pass or you buy a public transit pass, we have a program where you can get pre-tax dollars taken out of your pay statement to buy it at a lower rate.
How do your 4 a.m. workers get there?
They bike or they walk.
Thank you. And then I have a question about the downtown marketing program. Do you know what the current level of funding for that is? The answer could be no.
I don't know it off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
600
and... 500,000? Okay. Because I know that that was a discussion back in 2009, was a condition of support from the Business Alliance for that program. And so I just wanted to see if it's about 500,000 and the increased revenue is 4 million, that's a pretty good trade-off. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Besh, yeah. I just have to tell you that your location is where I hold all my secret meetings.
I know
it's
that.
It's a convenient downtown location, but people don't necessarily expect to see me there. So thanks for being there.
Thank you.
Was a secret location. All right. Anyone else who would like to speak on this item? If not, and if there aren't any closing comments from Commissioner Novick, then this will come back for second reading next week, and commend everybody for obviously a good process. 2 weeks. Come back on the morning of the 30th for a second reading. Commend everybody for obviously a good effort at getting to consensus on change.
Thank you all so much.
Well done. We are adjourned.
Hey, Steve. So the half million comes out of the 4 million?
Well, no.
It's not really designated that way. I mean, PBOT's been coming up with the 4 million. And that's not like.
Are you? I'm sorry. No, it comes out of the general fund.
Yeah.